And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Good interview just then with Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville. We covered a variety of things there. We Space Command. First of all, would somebody just please admit they're holding that up for political purposes?
Oh, they totally are.
I mean, for the love.
I mean, Alabama has went out in every way and proven themselves, and now they're just saying, "Oh, maybe we can find something else."
And you know what? I didn't realize until he said it was that Colorado, who's doing all the crying right now, was in fourth place. That's like being a bracket buster and you still want to talk about how I almost won. No, you didn't. Yeah. You didn't almost win. Almost wins don't win. Almost wins are losers.
Check your bracket.
Colorado's bracket was busted. Huntsville got in there with a major upset.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Something else I took away, it was at the very end when we were talking about the Chinese are coming through, Russians are coming. Everyone else is coming through the border.
In fact, a lot of people think of it as, a bunch of Central and South Americans are coming through. No, it's not all from Guatemala, y'all. Mm. Not all. It's not all from, Honduras and Nicaragua. It is. We are seeing people from all over the world, and most concerning, like you said, I want to say, the number of Chinese nationals crossing the southern border has increased 1,000% in the last year.
Wow. And correct me if I'm wrong, did I hear him say something that they're trying to gain some territory down near the canal or something? Was that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So not gain territory, not more territory. More like taking control of operations. Oh,
there we go. That's.
And that's not new, though. So when Jimmy Carter, President Carter, ceded control of Panama back to the Panamanians, mm-hmm. one of the first things they did, recognizing they couldn't run it themselves, the Panama Canal is it's a big deal.
Right.
World commerce goes through the Panama Canal. And it has changed. The loss of the Panama Canal would change the world commerce in epic ways. Mm. But they ceded a lot of the control to Chinese nationals almost immediately. Chinese companies came in there and set up shop and became, the next level of Panamanian citizens, I guess.
Wow.
But it's still going on and probably going on even in increased areas right now. It's out of control. The other thing he talked about besides Space Command is that Vulcan material situation, which is not a huge part of today's show, but it just kind of the news has kind of broke. I had no idea that an Alabama-based company, which, by the way, quarries all of its limestone down there, a lot of it, to bring back up here for our road building.
Mm.
Well, they've had their operations seized and shut down by the Mexican freaking government.
Wow.
I mean, does anybody respect the Biden administration at all?
No.
Apparently not. We'll talk about it more. Fit to Fight coming right back after the break. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
To Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two. And yeah, like the dude just said, we cover all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hey, breaking, this is a totally off topic. I'm just going to go ahead and say something nice about somebody that I don't often get to speak well of. So Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham just posted on his social media that he just proposed, and his fiance said yes. So we don't always agree on policy, but I can celebrate when there's worth celebration. And so congratulations to Mayor Randall Woodfin, and we wish you the best in your future marriage. All right, let's jump into the triple dipper here. Fit to fight. Where we at? What's going on? It's a saucy world, man. It's a saucy world right now. There is something at every corner, every hemisphere. So the southern hemisphere right here on our southern border, it ain't pretty. There's a lot of instability in places like Venezuela and the Central American and South American countries that are flooding their people, sometimes even releasing them from prisons to make their way north to the U.S. border, which is porous, pouring fentanyl across. You just heard about U.S. Resources through Vulcan Materials, Alabama's Vulcan Materials, having their plant and their port operations seized for reasons that we can't fathom. And then all that's right happening right here in our hemisphere. Then you got, of course, the Middle East. Saudi Arabia and Iran forming their new pact. Iran being the largest exporter of terrorism in the known world. You got Iran also very close, they say, to nuclear capability. And then you've got, I mean, everything else in the Middle East is also just, it's a whack-a-mole over there right now, and always is, just every single day. Who do we like today? Who do we not like today? What's going on with Hamas? Where's Hezbollah? Lebanon, Israel is constantly an ally that then has to deal with the next administration who may not be as warm to Israel, which is where we are again right now. And that's the Middle East. And then you got Southwest Asia. What's that? That's Pakistan. A nuclear Pakistan, by the way, always unsettled with India. Where do we stand in that? Well, that's where they found Osama bin Laden. And they're also in the southern border of Afghanistan, where the Taliban's now in charge again because of the Afghanistan pullout debacle. And then just north of that, you have all the former Soviet stans, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, all of those. Lots of instability. And then just north of that, you got Ukraine and the Ukraine war. And what's going on over there, which, by the way, China is now posturing. China is posturing itself as the diplomatic whiz of the world right now, trying to fill the vacuum being left by the Biden administration, which has zero foreign policy capability, strategy, or plan. And then on top of all that, let's go, why don't we look at the Far East while we're at it? North Korea, just yesterday, postured for the first time that we've seen in staging a military nuclear strike exercise against South Korea. That's never happened before. We went one step further than they've ever gone before and postured an actual drill about nuclear operations against the South and U.S. forces. Have I covered it all? I mean, every single day, it seems that not only do we have the whack-a-mole of a hotspot, and there are many, and every president has them, but the problem we got right now is usually we can whack the mole. Right now, the Biden administration is constantly trying to just not look like a fool, and it's not always working out. When's the last time you heard of the thing like we had last week? Was it last week? Daily Wire, March 16th. That'd be Thursday. Yeah. The incident in which Russian fighter jets harassed a U.S. military drone over international waters, actually colliding with it and causing a complete loss of the drone. By the way, this is no small thing. That's a $53 million surveillance aircraft, which was flying in international airspace. U.S. European Command last Tuesday said the two jets had repeatedly harassed the drone while the drone was conducting routine operations in international airspace. The statement said that the incident followed a pattern of dangerous action by Russian pilots while interacting with U.S. and allied aircraft over international airspace that could lead to miscalculation and unintended escalation. You think? When's the last time you remember? Now, granted, I get it. Russia's ticked at us. We are funding the fight against them in Ukraine. But when's the last time Russian jets in international airspace did something as provocative as what they did with our drone? And they knew what they were doing. In fact, reports are that those Russian pilots are being honored by the Russian government. Really? Wow, big doings, fellas. Let's spray fuel on top of a drone aircraft that has no ability to fight back and then knock it out of the air because we're bad pilots. But let's get a medal for that. Okay. All right, listen, the reality is this. We're at a place right now where the world has gotten more unstable than we've seen it in quite a while. You add to that the fact that we have a military command under the civilian leadership of this nation which does not seem to have their act together. Now, I am not trying to say, by the way, that our military is not fit to fight as a series of individuals. What I am saying, though, is upper level leadership, the flags, the suits, are so focused, or for that matter, maybe their lack of focus, that they are missing the mark. Recruiting being down, readiness suffers. We're providing a huge amount of our weapon stores to Ukraine. And yet you don't ever hear anybody saying, and here's how we're going to fix our readiness issues. So let me jump into this. U.S. Representative Mike Rogers from Alabama. Well, of course, Congressman Rogers is now the chairman of House Armed Services. He joined with the chairman of House Foreign Affairs, that's Mike McCaul of Texas, and House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, Chairman Mike Turner. And they did a letter to National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan about the cooperation we're seeing right now between Russia and China. And they call it a direct threat to U.S. security. This is not just about Ukraine. Listen to this. I had not heard this until I read this article from Yellowhammer that came out Friday. Russia's state-owned nuclear energy corporation, Rosatom, is helping the People's Republic of China acquire enough weapons-grade plutonium to fuel its strategic nuclear breakout. That's a whole different ballgame. Now you might understand why Xi is talking to Putin, and Putin needs stuff from Xi. Well, guess what? Xi needs stuff from Putin. So beyond fueling the PRC's strategic nuclear breakout, which in 2021, Strategic Command Commander Admiral Charles Richard called breathtaking, Rosatom helps fuel Putin's war efforts in Ukraine. So we call on the administration to view this cooperation for what it is, a direct threat to U.S. security and more evidence that Russia and China are working in tandem against the United States. And then called on the Biden administration to put a stop to this collaborative action that would put nuclear capability in the hands of the Chinese and more money in the hands of the Russians. And they end that letter by saying, the longer we wait to act, the more difficult it will be to address Rosatom's nefarious and malign dealings. In short, every dollar and euro that Rosatom brings in directly finances the death and destruction we see in Ukraine, China's nuclear weapons expansion, and is a direct threat to our American way of life. That's about as strong a statement as you could ask for from Alabama's own chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Chairman Mike Rogers. Well, that relationship between China and Russia, it's thus far been not quite as open. But now, China, the emboldened China, because they could care less what America does because Biden's at the helm. Story on Fox News came out yesterday. China's Xi is set to meet Putin in an effort to weaken U.S. standing at a highly significant gathering. This is a big, in the eyes of the world, this is a tone setter. When you look at this kind of stuff, you look at it and go, well, they got together. I mean, they're going to get together sometimes. What's the big deal? No, it sends a statement. It says to the world, hey, you know, we could care less what Biden says. Guess what we're doing? We're having lunch. We're having lunch together, and we're having our picture taken while we're having lunch together. What do you think of that? And oh, by the way, we combined create quite an opposition to the United States, and that's what they're doing. The General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, according to Fox News, is slated to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow on Monday, today. It's the latest sign of Beijing's emboldened diplomatic ambitions, and it comes amid sharpening East-West tensions over the war in Ukraine. The meeting with Putin is, quote, highly significant because Xi is incentivized to drag out Putin's war in Ukraine because China benefits from it as both of its top strategic adversaries are now depleting their combat arsenals in Ukraine. Yeah, it's to China's benefit for the war to continue. They get a chance to watch Russia just burn through its resources. They know that Russia needs them and will make deals that they need for energy and for plutonium. And then on top of that, they're watching us expend our resources in such a way that it's depleting our stocks, which I'll get to in a minute. This is a huge, hairy deal. So Admiral John Kirby, the spokesperson for the National Security Council, said there's no question that both China and Russia, and this is right out in the national security strategy, he said, are two countries that are chafing against the international rules-based order that the United States and so many of our allies and partners have built up. They don't like it. He basically goes on to say they want a new world order. They want a new world order in which the United States is subservient to them. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, it appears, in my opinion, that everything that the Biden administration is doing is designed to make that happen. It's gotten to the point that I'm struggling to find it to be just ineptitude and lack of leadership. It feels intentional. The southern border, that's freaking intentional. You can't say otherwise. The lack of effort to find out about the COVID leak, whether it came from the Wuhan lab, that's purely intentional. There's no other way around it. Call it political if you want, but political is intentional. When you do it for political gain or political protection, it's intentional. And so what we're looking at right now is the degradation of our U.S. readiness, our capability to sustain operations and our economy in the wake of conflict. And it's on the cusp right now of looking like everything they're doing is intentionally designed to cause that to happen. Well, so let me skip through a couple things. I tell you what, Boomer, let's do this. Let's take a break right now. We'll take the break. We'll come back. I got a little more on this, and there's no way I'm getting through all my stuff, Boom. Ain't no way I'm getting through all my stuff.
You got a lot of stuff.
I got a lot of stuff. Because 3:30, we're going to switch gears and go to the phone with Will, which I'll weed through my pile to see which stories I want to use. Out of all the ones I've got, I'll pick a couple. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Fit to fight, are we? We'll talk about it. Be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, let's go ahead and wrap up this this section on Fit to Fight. How are we doing, by the way? Readiness, Air Force, I believe the Air Force has finally begun to meet its recruiting levels. I think the Army is still lagging. I will say I saw for the first time this past weekend during the March Madness the new commercial for Army recruiting, and they go back to the "Be All You Can Be," and I kind of dig that. It was a pretty good commercial. Something about it was a little off the mark. Like, it didn't do anything woke. I appreciated the fact that it just, you know, it showed throughout history how people have signed up to defend America's interests, and it had great visual imagery. As the guy who was talking about it was kind of like marching through time, different battlefields. Well orchestrated, but something about it didn't like just fire me up. Like, you know, I used to love the old commercials, you know, with the Marine Corps, you know, and some of the Army commercials with, you know, paratroopers, things jumping out of airplanes. And it just seemed a little slow. I don't know how to describe it, but it was still a heck of a lot better than the one they had before, the cartoon of Susie having two mommies and protesting as she grew up in gay rights, LGBTQ rallies, and that gate made her into an activist that wanted to join the Army to follow her dream. Shut up. Good gosh. But where are we on other readiness issues? So, you know, there's the old saying that you can have all the best fighters in the world, but if you can't get the beans and bullets to the front lines, things come to a grinding halt. Well, Wall Street Journal has a piece that came out last Thursday. Title of it, U.S. Reaches Deep Into Its Global Ammunition Stockpiles to Help Ukraine. Okay. We're going to keep supplying Ukraine, apparently, for a period of time. And by the way, I don't want Russia to win. So on the one hand, I am conflicted because I don't want Russia to win. They don't deserve to win. They need to be pushed back across their borders and made to be a pariah and an embarrassment in the eyes of the world. And I'm fine with that. And they're getting spanked right now. Like, spanked. But what's the strategy? What's the plan? What's the end state? How long do we keep depleting our own stores and writing blank checks? That's the problem, is the lack of accountability. However, I will say this. I talked to a young Army officer recently, just in the last few days, who just got back from Poland, who had a chance to interact with those that are training Ukrainian soldiers. And he said they are some of the finest trainees they've ever had a chance to train. That they are so, of course, their mission mindset is they know they're taking whatever they're learning here and they're walking straight into a war zone with it. And it's their homeland. So they come in with a different passion. He said what's also interesting is, and he said this is a firsthand account. He said that Ukrainians have for years had to learn how to fix stuff because they didn't always have stuff. In the United States, it's easier for us because of our production capacity sometimes just to replace it. Over there, they got to fix it. And he said they're actually doing things in the field right now. A 155 howitzer or something will break down, and they'll quickly machine a new part and just put it on there, make it themselves, and make it work and keep firing. They do that. It's just where they've been. It's really interesting to hear him say they are some of the finest trainees, quickest learners they've ever seen. However, story in the Wall Street Journal, Ukraine's insatiable demand for artillery has for months outpaced Western forecasts, setting off a global hunt for more ammunition and forcing the U.S. to raid its own stocks abroad to help Kyiv prepare for its counteroffensive later in the spring. We have some allies that are holding back. They're not wanting to commit. It says that Russia has repeatedly warned countries not to supply arms to Ukraine. But here's one example. The U.S. has provided Kyiv with about 160 howitzers. That's a 155 cannon. So 155-millimeter ammunition, we've sent more than 1 million rounds of 155-millimeter ammunition. That 155 is a real boon. They've been using it constantly. But it says, to date, much of the ammunition has been coming from U.S. military stocks, pushing our inventories to low, low levels. And we've also sought to increase our own domestic production. We used to be able to manufacture about 13,000 rounds a month. We jumped it up to 20,000. Right now they're saying to keep this up, we got to jump it up to 50,000 rounds a month in order to maintain our own stocks and supply Ukraine. What does that do to our readiness? Well, it degrades it. And China's watching because they know that if we were to jump in right now with both feet, that we would be hard-pressed to have the stores that we need to get beans and bullets to the front line. All right, folks, that's it. Boomer, do you see how I just smoothly ended that?
That was smooth.
And then
good
the music
job.
Started.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, anyway, hey, we're going to switch gears. Higher wokeness. Education institutions are teaching some serious wokeness, and we got Will Blakely from 1819 News calling in. Y'all stay tuned.